Thank you, Holy Spirit. I want to teach you for about 30 minutes. Quickly on the blood of Christ. Let's keep the flow of the same song. Love you. The blood of Christ. Now we need to understand something as Christians. That there are five dangerous forces and powers that has been wielded to the man in Christ. And if the man in Christ understands the powers that has been wielded to him, he'll become a master in his age. The first power is the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. The second power is the power of the name of Jesus. The third power is the power of the Word of God. The fourth power is the power of prayer. And the fifth power is the power of the blood of Christ. Now, inasmuch as all these five powers are synchronized and operate perfectly in the person of the Holy Spirit, they are separate powers that each believer must understand and walk in their reality if he wants to dominate in this life. I can tell you on authority that without these five powers in operation in your life will be a failure as a child of God. If you don't have understanding of the personality and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, I am telling you on authority, you will make many mistakes which will lead to your failure as a child of God. If you lack understanding of the reality of the name of Jesus Christ, you will fail. Without a proper understanding of the Word of God, because all these things I'm sharing with you are powers. The Holy Ghost is a power. In fact, power of powers. The name of Jesus. At the name Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things on earth, and of things beneath the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. The Bible says, having been made more better than the angels, he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than thee. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is active and powerful. The word powerful is living, sharper than any double-edged sword. So the word of God itself is power. And the power of prayer, the Bible says in the book of James chapter 5, verse 17. He says the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man in the Amplified Version. He says it makes tremendous power available. Then finally, the blood of Christ. And that's what we're teaching. When a believer has a revelation of the blood of Jesus, there are some things that cannot happen to you. You need understanding. Now you need to understand that the concept of blood sacrifice or the concept of blood did not come from juju men. The concept of blood did not come from occults. The concept of blood sacrifice did not come from man. Rather, it originated from God. In the book of Revelation chapter 13, the verse 8, the Bible says the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundations of the world. So there was a slain in God's predestined wisdom concerning Christ as a sacrifice long before the earth was created. Which means God was the initiator of sacrifice which comes through blood. In the book of Leviticus chapter 17, the verse 11, the Bible says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. So God says, I have given it to you. So blood sacrifice was altered, engineered by God. Unfortunately, juju men and occultists have understanding of blood. That is why they win against us. No power that is not in God can attack you or have victory over you without a sacrifice, because spirits are empowered by sacrifice. Remember, we said the life of the flesh is in the blood, which means when blood is shed, life is released. So when we are talking of the blood of Jesus, we are actually talking of the life of Jesus that was released in his death. When a goat is slaughtered, when the blood comes out, the goat dies. It means life has been taken out. I don't know if I'm teaching good here. So when we are speaking of blood, we are speaking of life. That is what makes blood powerful. A portion of your blood is life. That is why your sperm, for example, is a very powerful force, because your sperm is your blood. That's why you don't waste it. So anything that has got to do with blood has got to do with what? Life. Right from the Old Testament, from the testimony of Jesus and from the apostles, we saw different facets of the use of blood and how it culminated in the atoning blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which initiated and enacted the New Testament. When you read your Bible for the first time, that blood was mentioned. It was mentioned when Adam sinned and realized he was naked and took fig leaves to cover his shame and nakedness. And God took off the fig leaves and used the skin of an animal. For God to use the skin of an animal, which means an innocent animal, was slaughtered, blood was shed. And the skin of the animal was used as a covering. So the first time blood was used, it was used for covering, which in the Hebrew is atonement. So the concept of atonement began from the garden. Secondly, we saw the century that went on when God wanted to produce Eve. Adam had Eve in him because God created them on the same day but formed them on different days. So when it was time for God to bring Eve, God put Adam in this sleep and performed the first surgery on his side. Blood was spilled, and out of that blood he brought Eve from his rib, which means out of blood life can come out. Number three, we see Cain and Abel offer a sacrifice to God. Cain brought very good fruits. In Sunday school, we're told that it was rotten tomatoes. It's not true. They were very powerful fruits. But the challenge was that good fruits were coming out of a cursed ground, which means that if you are cursed, if you are not born again, no amount of good can make anything you bring to God good. Which means whatever comes out of an unbeliever to God is still death. Abel brought the firstling, or the fat of his cows, or of his lambs, or his animals, and God accepted his offering, which meant that blood was for acceptance. Cain slew his brother. God came to him and said, "The voice of your brother's blood is crying from the ground," which means every blood has a voice. I'm going on a sequential journey. So now we saw covering. Blood can produce atonement. Blood can produce life. Blood can bring acceptance and access. And blood can cry. It has a voice. Now we also see that Noah, after the flood, when they came from Mount Ararat and there was a new world, he offered a sacrifice to God, and God smelled the sacrifice. Blood was shed. And God said, "Never again will I flood the earth like the way I did." Telling us that the blood sacrifice Noah released averted judgment forever, which means blood can avert judgment. The next time we read our Bibles also, we saw Abraham enter into a covenant with God in the book of Genesis chapter 15. And there was darkness. And in the darkness, God caused Abraham to fall into a deep sleep. And there was the covenant where two people had to enter into the covenant. It was supposed to be Abraham and God, but Abraham was put to sleep. And the Bible says a burning light and a furnace went through the sacrifice. And God established the Abrahamic covenant, telling us that that was a type of the new covenant where we will not do anything and sleep, and God and God himself will come together to establish the New Testament for us through the blood offering of Jesus. We also see in that of Abraham again, when Abraham was supposed to offer Isaac as a sacrifice to God. And during that time, when he was about to sacrifice Isaac, he heard a voice that said, Abraham, now I know that you fear me and you obey me. And God substituted a ram for the life of Isaac, telling us that blood also signifies substitution. Then we also see in the story of Moses in Exodus chapter 12, Moses performed 9 miracles, yet Israel was not free. There was a 10th miracle, which was the miracle of the Passover. And during the miracle of the Passover, God told Israel to pick a lamb that was without blemish. Observe the lamb for 4 days. After 4 days, the whole family was to come together and kill the lamb and apply the blood of the lamb on their doorpost. And God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over. Which means that the blood brought them protection, telling us blood is for protection. Blood also is for exchange. So when the angel of death came and saw the blood, in the mind of the angel, someone had already died, so no one needed to die in that house. Telling us that blood signifies exchange. You can use blood to exchange life for life. That's why Jesus exchanged his life for our life. Then we also see that during the time of the Israelites, when God established the priesthood system, we saw that God established the offerings in the tabernacle. There were 5 offerings. The first offering was the burnt offering, when the animal is slaughtered and wholly given to God. The second offering is the meat offering, which was a gift that was given to God. The third offering was the peace offering, or the fellowship offerings. It was an offering that was used to mend a relationship with God that was broken. So we call it a peace offering. It came by blood. We saw the sin offering, which was to deal with the sin nature. And we saw the trespass offering, which was to deal with offenses and sins that we commit. Telling us also that blood is a sign of an offering to God, wholly given to God. Blood also signifies that which is used to make peace. Blood also signifies that which is used to deal with sin. And blood also signifies that which is given as a gift to God. I'm teaching good here. So throughout the Old Testament system, we saw how blood was used for all kinds of spiritual rituals. And then we saw Jesus come. And in John chapter 5, verse 39, he said, you search the scriptures, thinking in them you may find life. Yet they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you may receive life. In John chapter 5, the verse 45 to 47, he says that if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, because Moses wrote of me. Which meant that Jesus opened our eyes to tell us that right from Genesis to Deuteronomy, from the prophets to Malachi, everything that happened, the sacrifices, the offerings that were made, the blood sacrifices, all was pointing to one offering. So in the book of Hebrews 10, he says, sacrifices and offerings you did not desire, but a body that was prepared for me. Telling us all these things that was done was only a typology of the real effect revealed in Calvary, which we have in Christ. So when we come to the book of Genesis, like we mentioned, when Adam sinned and realized he was naked, now the real theme is now playing. The animal that was killed to use as a skin to cover Adam, that animal was a type of Christ. Man sinned and became naked and exposed to shame, but God cut an animal. That animal was the Lamb of God that was slain so that man can have a covering, so that shame can be lifted off of man one more time. That is why every shame organized for your life will not work. Why? Because a sacrifice, someone has already been disgraced. Now listen to me carefully. For the animal's skin to be removed, it means the animal became naked, so that Adam's nakedness can be covered. Telling us that in the atonement of Jesus, anything that was to bring you shame, on the cross, he hung naked. Listen to me. Jesus was not wearing pants on the cross. Everything was hanging and dangling. So that anything that can expose you to shame, it can be averted. Hear me. Anything the enemy has planned for your life to expose you to shame, you shall never be ashamed. The Bible says, they that look unto him shall never be ashamed. They were enlightened and they were never put to shame. So the cross, the atonement, became your covering. Tell somebody, I have a covering. We also see in the offering of Abel and Cain. Cain brought good fruits that came from a cursed ground, telling us by our self-righteousness, we can never produce anything that will please God. Abel did not do any work. He only took an animal sacrifice, telling us that we don't have to do any work. We only have to believe, come through the blood of Jesus. Like Abel came through the blood of an animal, and God accepted him and told Cain, if thou doest what is right, would thou not be accepted? Which means what is right is faith in the blood. So you must have faith and confidence in the blood of Jesus Christ. But Cain did not heed, and he killed his brother. We also see in Adam's surgery that was performed on his side. Do you know that the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 that Adam was a type of Christ? No wonder he's the first Adam and there is the last Adam. So everything Adam did was only a typology of Christ. When it was time for God to bring Eve, God put Adam into a deep sleep. When it was time for God to bring the church, the spiritual Eve, God put Jesus to death. The sleep of Adam was a type of the death of Jesus. And in that sleep, God opened his side. On the cross, a soldier took a spear and pierced the side of Jesus, and blood and water gushed out, telling us that on the cross, Jesus suffered so you can come out as the church. So we also see in the story of Noah that just like the offering was offered and God smelled the sacrifice, when Jesus Christ was given on the cross, God smelled his sacrifice and said, there will be no judgment on anyone that believes in my son. Which means that if you have believed in Christ, you are, hear me carefully, eternally secured. When you read the book of Isaiah, it tells us that as the flood of Noah, as God swore that there will be no flood, so has he sworn never to be angry with thee. So this is the heritage that we have through the blood of Jesus Christ. We also see in that of Isaac and Abraham. Do you know that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was a type of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost? Because the word Abraham comes from three Hebrew words. Abraham. Abba means father. Bar, actually, when you read Simon Bar Jonah, Bar means son. And Mem signifies waters, which pictures the Holy Spirit. Which means in the name Abraham, we have father, we have son, we have Holy Spirit. That's why Abraham gave birth to Isaac, a type of Christ. And Isaac gave birth to Jacob, a type of the Holy Spirit. How do I know that? Do you know that Jacob wrestled with God and his side was taking off and his walk began to change, telling us that the work of the Spirit when you get born again is to wrestle with you until your side, your flesh is taken, so your work and your walk can be affected. Your walk can change. The way you walk in Christ will change. The way you behave in Christ will change. It is a work of the Holy Spirit, and it comes with wrestling, because without wrestling the flesh cannot be tamed. So Abraham was a type of the father. That is why he gave birth to Isaac. And God told him, give me your son. Because God was trying to test whether a human being can give a son before he brings his son. So Abraham put the wood on Isaac's head. And Isaac carried his own wood. Christ carried his own cross. They journeyed 3 days to Mount Moriah, which in Greek is Calvary. The very place Isaac was offered was the same place Christ was offered. That's strange. Abraham was asked by his son. He says, why is the lamb? Because I've seen the sacrifice, the wood. And God says, Abraham said, the Lord himself will provide a lamb. Abraham was telling him by faith that I know some way, somehow, you are not the sacrifice. The Lord himself, he is the lamb. The Lord himself, he is the lamb. And God proved it when he took the knife to slaughter his son. A voice came and said, Abraham, now I know. He says, turn. And he saw a ram whose head was caught in the thicket. The word ticket is the word from which we have tongues. Christ wore the crown of tongues, telling us Christ wore the crown of tongues so that you can be substituted, and the death you were supposed to die, Jesus took that place. Hear me, anyone that has appointed you for death in this year, I declare that there is an exchange. Because of the blood of Jesus, you will cross over death and nothing can stop your life. Tell someone sleeping, I cannot die. I cannot die. I cannot die. So, when we are speaking of blood, it was culminated in Calvary. So now, quickly before we pray, I want to teach you quickly on the blood effect of Christ. What is the effect of the blood of Jesus? You need to go home with some reality here. The blood effect. What is the effect of the blood of Jesus? Number one, the blood of Jesus destroyed the curse in Genesis, the book of Genesis, and every curse the fall brought. The blood of Jesus destroyed the curse of Genesis and every curse the fall brought. Now, it's very interesting to know that Jesus Christ bled in 8 places. Many of you have not noticed the significance of the bleeding of the 8 places. Number one was his sweat that became drops of blood. That's number one. Number two was a crown of thorns. Blood was shed. Number three was his 2 hands that was pierced. That was 4. Number 5 was his 2 feet. That is 6. His side, that was 7. 8, that was his stripes. And all these 8 places, there was blood shedding. Blood flowed. And hear me, all these 8 places had prophetic significance. And if you don't know, you will just read it and not take advantage of it. Hear me carefully. The first area Jesus shed blood was his sweat. Why was it necessary for Jesus to sweat blood? There's a scientific situation called hematidrosis. It actually happens when a man is under intense pressure, and out of the intense pressure, the blood capillaries through which the blood flows can burst and enter into the sweat glands and can cause a man to sweat blood. So it happened literally. Why did Jesus go through that pressure and sweat blood? Remember, in the judgment in the curse that was released in the book of Genesis, God said to Adam, out of your sweat will you eat. And Jesus sweat for that sweat. You didn't understand me. You didn't understand me. So the sweat of Jesus was to break the curse of sweat in the book of Genesis. Hear me carefully. Any curse that will make you sweat every time to have bread, any curse that will make you sweat every time before you eat, any curse that will make you sweat every time before you have something to eat, that curse is broken by the blood of Jesus. You will have things without sweat. Hear me carefully. In this life, you can have things by labor or by favor. It is this road. They understood what I'm saying. Only this road. I said in this life, you can have things by what? Labor or by favor. I don't know which one you want. Hear me. I believe in hard work, but I also believe in grace work. Because all of them accomplishes the same results. I speak over 10 people in this house. Anything that is causing you to sweat, to struggle to make things happen, by the power of the sweat of Jesus Christ, that thing is broken now. Now, as you are standing, listen to me carefully. Hear me carefully. A lot of times, Christians think that the work of Calvary will work in your life automatically. It's a lie. Do you know God said to Israel in Deuteronomy 2? He says, see, I have given you Sihon. He says, I've given him to you. Yet he says, go and possess the land and go and contend for it. It doesn't make sense. Go and read Deuteronomy 2. He says, I've given it to you. Now he says, go and contend. Go and possess by contending. So the thing is already given, but you have to contend to take it. Yes, do you understand me? Now, let me give you a scenario. This is 50 Ghana cedis. Okay, please come. This is 50 Ghana cedis. Okay? Now, God is telling this man that this is 50 Ghana cedis. It's for you. Go and take it. Unfortunately, there is a strong man here. God has said it's for you. But there are giants. Meanwhile, the thing is for you. Can I go for an angel? So unfortunately, because this man is a slim macho, he can be dispossessed. But Eben, please come. Run. Now, if you see someone like this and God said, I've given it to you, you will not joke. When you are praying, you pray like, but if you see someone like this, Esusu fefe. Yeah, that's how you speak in tongues. But when there's a man like this, you have to pray. And you see, when God says go and possess, if you are not smart, you will not understand it. He's not saying go and go and say, hey, leave me. They will beat you. He's saying that possess and reclaim by his strength. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, so God says, I've given you these 50 Ghana cedis, but you must go and possess it. Try and go and take it. Please make sure it doesn't take it. Go. Go and take it. I'm just giving you a scenario. Go and take it. Go and take it. Please, are you realizing what's happening? This is what is happening in the realm of the spirit, and people are blaming God. That God, you said it. Yes, he said it. And God is faithful. But the challenge is that there is a prince in this world. There's a challenge. Have you realized that you can have a land, yet land gas can dispossess you? You have a title. You have document. You have indenture. Yet your own land you can't enter. You will come and see land gas holding shorts. Listen to me. This land we are in, it came by contention. Because a land we have paid for with indenture, with title, there was a group of people who said the land is not for us. Let me tell you something. If God said he has given you healing, don't think it's automatic. You have to fight for it. I don't like this area. Let me come here. If God says anything about your life, you have to fight for it. That is why we pray. That is why we fast. Because though there is a finished work, there was an unfinished work also. I thought the Bible says that whoever has believed in Jesus has crucified the flesh. Yeah, the Bible says the works of the flesh are as follows. Now, Apostle Paul, who said everyone who has believed Jesus Christ has already been crucified. Now he says, mortify the deeds of the body. It doesn't make sense. So a lot of people say that Paul is confusing us. He's not confusing you. Because he's telling you there's a reality in your spirit, there's a reality in your soul, and there's a reality in your body. God can say something that has already happened in your spirit, but it has not permeated your soul into your body. That process takes war, it takes training, it takes groaning, it takes battle, it takes contention to be able to take what God has already said is yours. That is what many Christians don't understand. When God is telling you that Jesus sweat for your sweat, he's not telling you just stand there and say, Jesus has sweat for me. No, you stand on authority of that reality and revelation and say, Jesus, I speak to you, devil, in the name of the Lord. Jesus sweat for me. Devil, take your hands off my life. I will not struggle for prayer. I rebuke you, devil. You have no authority over my life. I take authority over you right now in the name of Jesus. Hear me. If Israel did not fight, the promised land that was promised would never become a reality. I'm teaching good here. So many of you are disappointed in God. Whatever God needs to do, he has done. But hear me. Whatever you need to do, have you done it? So many of you are eating meat pie. And you want to possess. When they are strong men, when they are the sons of Anak, when they are giants on the land. I'm teaching good here. Tell somebody you must fight for your marriage. Tell somebody you must fight for your finances. Because hear me carefully. If you don't fight, you will always be sweating and be asking God questions. And you may not find answers. I speak over 10 people here. Anything that causes your life. You know, there are people, everything in this life, they have to sweat. Can you imagine the people who have to work before they get 100 Ghana cedis? Before you get 100 Ghana, two men have to sleep with you. You don't understand Calvary. I'm telling you something serious. Before you have 100 Ghana, you have to struggle. The struggle is over today. I am prophesying. I said the struggle is over today. Receive it in Jesus' name. There are 5 people here. There is a supernatural breakthrough that is about to happen to you. Hear me carefully. You will not sweat. You will not know how it will come. But it will come to you anyway. Receive it right now in Jesus' name. That visa, it will come without sweat. That marriage, it will come without sweat. That new job, it will come without sweat. That breakthrough, it will come without sweat. That land, it will come without sweat. That ministry, it will come without sweat. That instrument, it will come without sweat. That investment, it will come without sweat. That business, you will start without sweat. I'm telling you, that thing you are looking for, it will come without sweat. Yes. I'm telling you, this is a prophetic meeting, and anything can happen. Jesus sweat for my sweat. Tell 3 people, Jesus sweat for my sweat. One more time, look for someone else. Say, Jesus sweat for my sweat. He sweat for my sweat. Read the book of Genesis, chapter 3. I was shocked that the Bible said God cursed the ground for Adam's sake and said, hear me carefully, it shall produce thorns and thistles. That was the case. And on the cross, Jesus wore a crown of. The ground shall produce thorns and thistles. Christ wore the crown of thorns. The soldiers was doing what we're doing ignorantly, but in heaven it was a revelation. So hear me. It is possible you can read the 4 Gospels and see the cross casually, but in heaven they don't see it like that. So how you see the scriptures really matters. Because a man can read the 4 Gospels and see that the thorns that Jesus wore was to break the curse of thorns. Hear me. Tongues or thorny ground signifies struggle. Remember the Bible says the farmer went to sow seeds. The spot of the seeds that fell upon tongues. When they want to grow, the tongues choked it. So tongues signify limitation. So when Jesus wore the crown of thorns, it was to break limitation and it was to break struggle. I speak to 5 people in this house. Anything that has become a limitation in your family, no one in your family marries, no one in your family sees 5,000 Ghana cedis, no one in your family travels, but because Jesus wore the crown of thorns, every thorny life, every life that will be a struggle, every life that will be a limitation, you are breaking out, you are breaking out, you are breaking out, because you are an unstoppable seed. I see you coming out, because Jesus has already won the crown of thorns. I see 20 people that limitations are broken off their lives. You will keep it again. You will travel again. You will receive that visa again. You will receive that new job again. You will receive that interview again. You will have that business again. God is bringing it to you because the curse of struggle is broken. Yeah. Shake my hands. Receive new grace. It is done. It's broken. It's broken. Number three, his stripes. When you read Isaiah chapter 54, be seated, please. The Bible says, by his stripes, you are healed. In the book of 1 Peter, he said, by his stripes, you were healed. Listen, I came to realize that if you don't understand this revelation, it is possible Satan can make you miserably and terribly sick. I know of the wife of a man of God that had a cancer, and she was given 80 days to live. In that 80 days, she began a new challenge. She read healing scriptures that has been guaranteed in the Bible for all those days. Took the communion every day. Refused anything the devil has placed upon him, upon her. Angrily, guess what? On the 80th day, she crossed to 81. She crossed to 82 days. Crossed to 85 days. Crossed 100 days. Guys, she's still alive. Hear me? Which means if you don't, you see, some of you think you know by his stripes you are healed. You don't know it like you think you know. I felt terribly sick. It was a life and death. We didn't magnify it in this church. It was then I knew that not knowing what I was preaching was not a reality. Most of you think you have faith. Nothing has happened to you. That's why you're saying what you're saying. I thought I was a man of faith until we started a building project. It was after the building project I realized I've passed a certain level of faith test. Because we can tell workers to be working and we owe them 20,000. I said they should keep working. We can order for cement bags and tell them when they get here, we'll pay them. And there's no money. Hey! There was a time in a building project, there was some money we were supposed to give. When I knew they were about to come in, we were about to come in, I ran away and I left Mr. Sam. I left Sammy. Your faith will be tested. Listen to me. All the things you are saying, I'm the righteousness of God. I'm blessed of God. I cannot die. You don't understand. You know those times when people are sick and they are crying, I tell them, put your faith to work. Put your faith in the man of God. I'm trying. I said, you don't have faith. You don't have faith. I told me, no, I knew I don't have faith. And pastor friends who quote scriptures by his stripes, I just say in my head, in my prayer, I know it. And one thing to preach, one difficult thing to do is to preach to a man of God. What are you come to say? So I was dying on the inside. There are times when I lie on the bed, the spirit of death is upon me. A voice keeps whispering, you will never wake up. You will never see the next day. You will never see. You will never see the next day. You are dying. I'm sure some of you have been experiencing that. Hear me carefully. If you don't take authority with the spirit of anger to disagree with what the devil is saying. Listen, some of you must say to certain sicknesses, enough is enough. By his stripes I'm healed. You'll be shocked. Do you know, according to the Hebrews, every part of Jesus Christ was whipped. And the amazing thing about the stripes of Jesus is that they didn't use a cane. They used an instrument called the flagrum or the cat of nine tails. It's one steady handle which had about nine outlets. Nine. And on each outlet, there is broken bottles, aluminium, metals, lead balls tied to each cord. So when they whip you one, it's as though they whip you nine and it tears your skin. You know, Isaiah saw stripes, but David saw it deeper and said, they did what? He said, the plowers plowed my back. So it was not a whipping, it was plowing. Which means you could see the bones of Jesus. His back was plowed. And the Bible is saying that by his stripes, You won't believe that he was beating 40 minus 1. You know, those times the Jewish people will give you 39 and they'll give you one. They'll leave one as an act of mercy. The Gentiles will give you all the 40. The Jewish people will give you 39. Bomi 40 prekwe. And Jesus took 39 minus 1. Why? You'll be shocked to know medically there are 39 root diseases. Every stripe Jesus took was to break one of them. And someone says, what of the extra one? He left the extra one so that in case any new one comes to add to the 39, he has already taken care of that one too. And you won't believe that the cat of nine tails had 9 outlets. So when they whip you one, they whip you how many times? 9. Actually, he was giving 40 lashes because it was the Gentiles that gave it to him. Now, 4 times 9 is what? 4, 9 is 36. Obi say 451. Get out. Walk out. So, after Jesus was whipped, it became 360. Now, do you know a round circle makes 360? Which means Jesus took stripes for your complete wholeness. In this year, you are completely whole. In this year, you are completely whole. In the name of Jesus, shout, I am whole again. By his stripes, I'm healed. And Jesus Christ was whipped, was actually pierced in his palms. It's amazing that the palms represent the work of our heads. There are people who work as though there's holes in their heads. Money comes into their hands and disappears. Jesus Christ took those nails in his hand so the works of your hands can be blessed. I don't know who is listening to me, but there's a strange blessing coming on your business, coming on your job, coming on the work of your hands. You will do little, but much harvest will come. I said you will do little, but much harvest will come. In the name of Jesus Christ. And he took a spear on his side. Now the side is actually the loins. The Bible tells us to get the loins of our mind. Actually, spiritually, your loins is your womb. You know, in the physical life, the womb of the woman is the womb. But spiritually, your loins are your womb. That's why Eve came from the loins of Adam. So which means that your fruitfulness is in your loins. That's why fruit came out of Adam. I am telling you something. Jesus Christ was pierced on his side so that your spiritual womb can be fertile. There are some who are spiritually infertile. They are spiritually barren, so they are not able to produce fruit in life. So every part of their life in this life is dry. But hear me, there is a watering upon. The water of life is watering you. I said the water of life is watering you. You will become so fruitful until your enemies imagine that it is not possible for this to happen to you. I am fruitful. I am fruitful. I cannot fail. I refuse to fail. I am fruitful. And Jesus was pierced upon his feet. All these things have prophetic symbols. Whatever the feet represents, Jesus took care of it. Number one, have you noticed that if someone wants to destroy you, most of you don't understand this thing. They will say that bring sand from his feet. So where the person walks on, they go and collect the sun. I mean, how can this be possible? And they can take sand from your feet and they can use it for occultic manipulation against you. How does it work? You see, these occultists, they understand things that you don't understand. And yet then Obi Have you thought of that before? It is the mystery of the feet. Tell someone the mystery of the feet. Why did Jesus Christ wash the feet of his disciples? Because there's a mystery about the feet. To the extent that Peter said that, no, I won't allow you. Wash my whole body. He says, if you don't make me do it, you will have no part with me. There is a mystery about the feet. Now listen, number one, the feet represents the place of dominion and authority. That is why if anybody takes sand from under your feet, he has actually taken your dominance and your authority. That's why they can dominate you. So the feet signifies dominion and authority. Remember God said to Joshua, wherever the soles of your feet shall tread upon, you shall possess. Why? Because feet signifies dominion. Now these things are prophetic symbols which are very powerful. Now when we got this land, we had to come and dominate the land. So we came to do an all night here walking on the length and breadth of the land. We brought fathers here to come and step on the land. Apostle Duncan was here. Prophet Manasseh was here. They came to step on the land. You know why? Because these things are serious matters here. Dominion and authority. So the feet of Jesus was crushed, pierced, so that wherever the soles of your feet shall tread upon, you'll be able to possess, and it's a place of authority. So hear me carefully. Have you noticed that when the early church disciples brought contributions, they laid it on the apostles' feet, which means they were submitting their finances to the authority of the apostleship. Do you know that this woman called Mary Magdalene, is it Mary Magdalene? Yes. She brought an oil. It was a fragrant oil. And she used her hair to wipe the feet of Jesus. It was signifying submission to authority. So the feet always signifies authority. So Jesus was to give back our authority when his feet was pierced. Hear me carefully. As you walk and pray, anything you pray about, you have dominated it. No, you don't understand. See, I'm giving you prophetic symbols. Anytime you are praying and you are praying walking, it's a symbol. It's a prophetic sign. What is happening is that if you are praying about any altar or you are dealing with anything and you are walking, you are saying that you are taking authority over that thing. When you lie down also, it's a language. Listen, in the realm of the spirit, it is not only the mouth that can speak. I'm teaching you. In the realm of the spirit, it's not only the mouth. You'll be shocked to know that when you enter the spirit realm, spirits don't talk. They can look at each other and they telepath in their communication. They look at you and whatever you are thinking, they know it. Your mind is loud. So there are other voices in the realm of the spirit, which your mouth is even the least. I'm teaching good. That's why when you step in a place and you stand there and you pocket, the demons understand what you are saying. I'm teaching good here. When you lift up your hands, it's a language. So hear me carefully. The feet is a place of dominion. Now when you are walking, walk well. Because if you don't walk well, you can step into medicine. But if you walk well with understanding that as I step out, I dominate. Once you step on something that is not from God, that thing crashes. You don't crash. Hear me carefully. Christians are same in identity, but you're not the same in function. So we can all carry the Holy Ghost, but what I can do with the Holy Ghost, you may not be able to do it. You know why? Because of my revelation, my insight, my understanding, and how I've aligned myself to the work of the Spirit. So we can all mention Jesus. And you will say, in the name of Jesus. And the demon will say, in the name of fire. Fear. And someone else will say, in the name. Once he says, in the. Demon says, Pacho, make up. Menchiasukra, make up. Meaning, so the both sides didn't make up. You know why? Because the name sounds different. There is an oil. There is a wave. There is an electrical energy. There is a force in your lips because of alignment. You hear me? That thing people have been saying, we are all the same. We are not the same. If you are all the same, walk to White House and try entering. I said even White House. This one, the one there. Flagstaff House. Just walk there, pocket and walk there, and tell the security man, hey, be there, mommy. You now, you see something. You now, you see something, I'm telling you. So we are all not the same. You know, some have connection power. So they can enter a place and they give way. You may also just decide that I'm also going to enter. Me huso bi rem. Na I can me huno kwa last week. Simple guy. We rem mu amensu me rem. Pacho rem mu. You realize the person entered because of relationship with someone. It was Pastor Elvis that connected me to Prof Sack. I have taken a whole bag full of money. I told you what happened last time. The money that I got, I changed it into 5 cedis. So it was full. Because I can't see him. Don't allow me to see him. But if they see a bag, they'll allow me. So I changed all into 5 cedis. It was a big bag. I was coming like this. 5 cedis in Kwan. And I saw him. Gave him the seed. He took it. Everything. Blessed me and everything. Yet there was no relationship. One day, Pastor Elvis went. He said, bro, let's go. And we went. Since that day, my relationship with the man has never been the same again. Those times when I go there, upon all the anointing, I'm at the back. Nobody recognizes me. Now, when I enter there, even if the place is full, they have to take someone from a seat and put me there. Listen, the reason why you enter a place, nobody's recognizing you, is because you don't know anybody. You are just there. It doesn't matter. I have Jesus, bro. Oh, Jesus, I got passport office. The answer is if you are. Even Jesus' body, it was a rich man that took it. It was a rich man that took it. Listen, you need connections and strategic relationships. I'm telling you. I told you the first time I was traveling with Pastor Elvis to Kumasi, we got to the airport. They took us to VIP straight. Served us with drink. I didn't know that if you are traveling, there's a place they can serve you. The day I was going to Kumasi without him, I entered the place. Nobody recognized me. I thought I was wearing those masks. I removed it. And I was just watching everybody's face. Everybody was just moving. Nobody mind me. And I'm a continuous demeter in 2 hours. They go, hey, come aboard. Come aboard the plane. When I entered the place, I called him. I said, Minya, where he? All the major breakthroughs I had in life, it was my connection to someone. I'm telling you. Listen, there are some things you can struggle and God will just have to bring you someone. Someone. Tell somebody someone. I'm seeing something in the spirit. There are 25 people here. God is about connecting you to your destiny helper. Listen to me. Do you know that sometimes demons can sense the people that are born to help you? They can sense them when they're coming close. And they can manipulate you and take those people far away from you. In fact, they can manipulate the minds of your destiny helpers. They can promise you they'll bring you to the States. But anytime they promise and they go back, the enemy tempers with their mind. They don't remember you. This thing, you can doubt it. I'm telling you something serious. Has anybody promised you it's been 5 years? There is something going on. The person has all it takes, but nothing, no show. But hear me carefully. The Lord is sending thousands of angels right from this auditorium. Wherever your helpers are, I see them come to you now. This role is very serious. I see them come to you now. 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 In the name of Jesus. Pray one prayer. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, wherever my helpers are, bring them now. Draw them now. Lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray for 1 minute. Katala Prabush. Yakata katabokos. Ratata palakombra basata. Radeboshayada. Ayentole makapambra batada. Yatapatumalatai. Rababashata labaya. Ayedenda. Rapapalasa. Rapenokopa. Rapenokopa.